I'm Gary Thompson, and I'm here with Randy Abrams, and this is the Malware Report. Randy, I've been noticing not only an increase in phishing, but of some fairly significant sites, the IRS being one. Did you see that?
Yes. There have been quite a few IRS phishes, but they've gotten a lot more vicious, if you will, a lot more targeted. Just this past week, in one of the lists I'm on, I got a message from an IRS or U.S. Treasury investigator asking for assistance contacting a very large ISP that was hosting a phishing site. Not that they meant to be hosting it, but in this case, the phishing email that the user got not only looked very official, it didn't have the normal typing mistakes that a lot of phishes have, but it had the user's email address, and it had their name right in the subject line.
Oh, wow. It says and it spear says phishing.
That, yeah, this is a classic spear phish. And, of course, it went on to say that the IRS had overcharged the individual and that they had money coming back and they needed to go to this website. Well, when they go to the website, it's pre-populated their specific user information, their name, their email address, all this stuff, and tells them that if they can put their credit card details in, then they can get their refund more quickly. And the idea is to capture the credit card details. Now, this phishing site went up probably on a Friday evening. And on Saturday, the IRS tried to contact the ISP, and they said, well, the abuse department doesn't work weekends, so come back Monday. And it's like, what do you mean you're going to leave this thing up for, you know, all weekend for people to get scammed? So it turns out I have a good friend that works at the ISP, and I also have his phone number, so I called him and put him in touch with the Treasury investigator, and they pretty quickly got the site shut down so that no one else would get scammed. But there's a variety of problems at work here. One is the people falling for the phishing attacks.
Right.
And the other is that we're still working on getting all the good guys on the same page so that we can more quickly take care of these problems.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like, I mean, I can see where the government used to working sort of the five-day work week. It needs to sort of rethink how they assist people who either are sent to phishing sites or having some sort of identity theft problems. A friend of mine had a phone call. This was not so much cyber, but a phone call from someone who claimed they were with the IRS and same kind of thing, and wanted the Social Security number. And they had everything down perfectly in terms of the address of the IRS where you're supposed to make the mailing. They were off by one number on the phone number, and fortunately, in this case, the individual caught it. But I know the government, a number of agencies are anticipating looking at anti-phishing solutions through the ISPs, icons to indicate trusted email and all the rest. But this seems like a problem that they're going to have to really address as it relates to 24/7 support.
Yeah, in this case, it wasn't the government. It was the ISP having to have the right individuals in place to immediately take down fraudulent sites.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a growing problem. Now, one of the IRS phishes I saw was blatantly obvious that it was a phish if you just thought about it, because it said, when you provide this information, we'll refund your money in 4 to 6 working days. Like, the IRS never responds that quickly.
Right. Well, still pretty scary. I understand there's an update on the Julie Amaro trial.
Yes, actually, Julie Amaro was a former substitute teacher in Connecticut who was tried and convicted, actually, of endangering the morals of minors because there was pop-up pornography on a computer in the classroom. Well, a bunch of experts got together, and when I say experts, I'm talking not only computer experts, but educational experts, security experts, legal experts, all rallied to her defense and said, you know, take a look at the facts here. It's pretty obvious this isn't a case of a teacher surfing porn, that, you know, this was brought out by adware and spyware, and there were a bunch of problems, including the legal system not understanding the technology in the case, and the school not using technology or providing training for it, for the teachers. Well, finally, we got the verdict thrown out. It was reversed. She's supposed to stand trial again. The date hasn't been set. And to tell you the truth, I don't think there's going to be another trial. The prosecution would not be able to prevail in a case when qualified experts are actually allowed to testify. The initial trial was really just a scam. I mean, it was a sham, actually. It was really bad. It was a complete lack of information and knowledge by the judge, the prosecutor, the expert witness, who wasn't much of an expert, and even the defense attorney. And now all the players would go in with a lot more knowledge, and it's not going to happen again. And as an outcome of this whole fiasco, there's now the Julie Group, which is a group of supporters of Amaro that are going to work on other types of cases, and not only cases, but work on trying to get education into the school system, education into the legal system, work to provide the legal practitioners with references to qualified experts, and generally try to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again.
That's great. I was pretty amazed, actually, when the judge said that the bloggers had tried to improperly influence the court. And it sounds like in this case, actually, the community has come to not only the rescue of this woman, but, changing educational policies so that this would never happen again.
Yeah, the judge's remarks really weren't very surprising. In a court of law, you don't actually have freedom of speech. The judge gets to say who gets to talk when and where and whether or not the judge likes the speech that they're hearing. And this specific judge didn't like the fact that in the blog sphere, bloggers can say what they want, and she seemed to think it was inappropriate that attention was given to the facts in this case.
Wow. Pretty scary. And so, was this a case of spyware? What was actually on the hard drive, and what brought this about?
There was adware on the hard drive. The original teacher, Julie was just a substitute. The actual teacher had been going to online dating sites on the computer. The teacher had actually installed a Halloween screensaver, and in that screensaver, it had a piece of adware which would intercept searches. So when some students searched for hairstyles, it sent them to a site that, in addition to having hairstyles, had advertisements for pornography that popped up. And once those pop-ups started, this was back in 2004, once they started, they would just cascade, and they could go for quite a long time just popping up windows, especially every time you tried to close one.
Wow. What should they have done if this had come to the attention of perhaps the IT person in charge of that school district? What's the proper procedure for scrubbing a hard drive? I could imagine that might also happen to small businesses.
Right. The proper procedure is to completely rebuild the computer. I mean, you can use an antivirus product like ESETNOT 32, and you can delete the adware that's there. But the fact is, once a computer's compromised, it's pretty difficult to know with a high degree of confidence that you've got everything off of it and that nothing has been corrupted. So even if you get all the bad stuff off of it, if the bad stuff, messed around with some of the files on the computer, they might not work as they were supposed to. And then you end up with intermittent problems that are really, really difficult to find. So both for reliability and security, your absolute best bet is to completely rebuild the computer. And in an educational environment, they really should have disk images where it's very quick to rebuild the computer.
Well, I certainly hope that this is a lesson that a lot of school districts pay attention to, and hopefully is not a problem in the future. Well, thanks again, and if anybody has questions or additional thoughts, they can reach you at
askeset@eset.com.
Well, thanks, Randy, and this has been Gary Thompson and Randy Abrams for the Malware Report.